Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious subject, a subject that ought to get the attention of every God-fearing believer on the face of the planet, especially if you're a conservative Christian in the United States of America. If you're a central Biblicist, if you believe what God's Word says takes precedence over what anybody else says, if you believe that God's Word is final and settled, if you believe that God's Word is inspired, infallible, inerrant, and is not to be modified, modulated, demeaned, destroyed, or changed, if you believe that, then, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, God gave them the land. And yet we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the two-state solution that is dividing the nation of Israel into two states, which is as a result of a House resolution by the Socialist Marxist Democrats just this week that they voted on that. And it was passed overwhelmingly. I forgot. It was like 238 or 240 votes in the House. And by the way, it included, I think, two or three Republicans voting for it. I did not find their names, but two Republicans or three voted for it. It's antithetical to anything that's called normal right for the United States of America. But let me read to you once again the position of the Jewish people. And it was back at the UN Security Council debate just a few months back that the United States, United Nations Ambassador Danny Danon, the title of this article, and I'll read it again. This is the deed to our land. Israel's ambassador takes the Bible at the UN to prove Jewish people's claim to Israel. Danon used the Bible to defend the Jewish people's claim to the land of Israel during a special session at the United Nations Security Council on Monday. Danon was tasked with the job of proving the case for the Jewish connection to the Holy Land during the session. He outlined four reasons. Hear them carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible, that's his first reason. That's his first proof positive for this. History, international law, and the pursuit of international peace and security. In a dramatic moment, Danon opened the Bible and read aloud God's covenant with Abraham from Genesis 17. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generations of an everlasting covenant. And I will give to you and your descendants after you all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, how long is an everlasting possession? Is everlasting everlasting, or is it a modified word? Everlasting means everlasting. Then Danon raised up the Bible, turned to the attendees in the meeting, and said, "This is the deed to our land, a de facto statement that I believe God. God said it. That settles it, whether you want to argue it and believe it or not," is what he was saying. And he goes further. From the book of Genesis, the Jewish Exodus, from Egypt to receiving the Torah on Mount Sinai, and the realization of God's covenant in the Holy Land of Israel, the Bible paints a consistent picture. He said, "The entire history of our people and our connection to Israel begins right here." He continued while lifting up the Bible once again. Danon argued that all of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, affirms the Jewish people connection to the land of Israel. And then he goes on to talk about the Jews being expelled from Israel and how it took place. And I need to restate this, ladies and gentlemen, so it sets the foundation and the baseline for where we're going in the balance of this broadcast. We're talking about a two-state solution, Israel and Palestine. The question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, who owns the land? In A.D. 70, Roman Emperor Titus destroyed the Second Temple, expelled the Jewish people, and renamed the land nestled between Egypt and Lebanon, Syria-Palestinia, as a southern province of Syria. That is where the name Palestine comes from. Though Jews still live in Jerusalem, the ambassador argued. So, ladies and gentlemen, just this week now, the Socialist Marxist Democrats have signed a resolution, voted on and signed a resolution. And the resolution is, if implemented, ladies and gentlemen, if it gets implemented, will divide Israel into two states, one Jewish and one the Palestinian state. Now, the question begs to be asked, do the Palestinians have an authority? Do the Palestinians own the land in the nation of Israel? And we're going to look at in a moment several biblical passages that will validate what the United Nations ambassador from Israel said when he said that holding the Bible up, that is their title deed. The ambassador, Danny Danon, says, by holding the Bible up, this is our title deed. He is theologically, doctrinally, biblically, absolutely 100% correct in making that statement. God's word is clear. The land is God's land. It's given to the Jewish people, and it is never to be divided. But ladies and gentlemen, one day the land will be divided. One day during the time of the battle on the nation with the Antichrist at the helm, there will be a division. I don't know if that division will take place just before the Antichrist steps on the scene or if it will be after the Antichrist is in rule and reign and control. Here's an article that says, demonically controlled Congress today passed a two-state solution resolution calling for Israel to be divided and the land given to create a Palestinian state. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs from the article. The demonically controlled Congress on Friday approved a two-state solution resolution to divide Israel and give it to the Palestinians. Now we're getting at the heart of why President, this art writer says, why we're getting at the heart of why President Donald J. Trump is so despised by the Democrats in Congress. And it has nothing to do with the phony impeachment efforts currently underway. Democrats don't want to remove President Trump over Ukraine. No, they want to remove President Trump over Israel because he is the first president since Harry Truman in 1948 recognized the right of the regathered Israel to exist, to move the needle forward, regathering the Jewish state and end time biblical prophecy taking place. The Democrats need to stop President Trump from further helping to advance Israel as a sovereign nation. The two-state solution will be implemented by the Antichrist, this writer says, in the time of Jacob's trouble. And it goes on to then quote in Joel 3, 1 and 2, and I'll read this. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's where the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of Jezreel, will be where the final battle shall take place, ladies and gentlemen. It shall be that place, according to Joel and according to Revelation chapter 16. It is that battle, it's the great battle, the battle of Armageddon that shall take place that will wrap up this whole universe. But ladies and gentlemen, let me further read. I will gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people, speaking of the Jewish people, for my heritage, speaking of God's heritage, which is Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word says in Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that they will have parted the land of Israel, parted the Jewish nation of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, God has given that land to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, and it is not to be divided, never to be divided. In fact, when George Bush, when George Herbert Walker Bush and George H.W. Herbert Walker Bush and then Bush the second president, when both of them and with William Jefferson Clinton and Barack Obama, all of the previous presidents talk about dividing the nation of Israel and a two-state solution. I've heard that for most of my lifetime, a two-state solution. Ladies and gentlemen, it's antithetical to the Word of God. It is unbiblical. It is unholy. And whatever nation puts their hands on it, touches the paper that has to do with the dividing of the nation, needs to look out because they stand in a position of being cursed according to the Word of God. This writer in this particular article says, what thing could possibly be done to elicit that type of reaction from God? Why the two-state solution, of course, is the situation. It is those three little words, parted my land, and it's referring back to Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Parted my land that caused God to go to war with the enemies, or the armies of the Antichrist for the land of Israel that belongs to God himself. And this writer says, that's why it is the most fought for real estate in human history, because it is the land that God calls his land. And not only that, but Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, is the place where God has placed his name, according to the scripture in 2 Kings 21:4. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. Ladies and gentlemen, that is stated with emphasis because it belongs to God. It is God's land. But when the resolution was passed by the Socialist Marxist Democrats, the Palestinian prime minister applauds the U.S. House resolution supporting the two-state solution. I'll read you a brief statement, and then we'll take our caller. But this statement says in this article, Prime Minister Mahmoud Ahmad on Monday applauded a recent United States resolution calling for the endorsement of the two-state solution. The current administration of the U.S. undermining the widely accepted basis of peace negotiation between Palestine and Israel. He is the prime minister, ladies and gentlemen, saying this, said in the opening of the week's Palestinian cabinet meeting, he said that the U.S. has adopted measures undermining the two-state solution, referring to the recent statements of the U.S. Secretary Mike Pompeo, in which he said that no longer view Israeli settlements in the West Bank as inconsistent with international law. In other words, Secretary of State Pompeo said that those settlements in the West Bank are not illegal, that they are rightly there because it belongs to Israel, is what this is saying. But the prime minister of the Palestinians are applauding the two-state resolution. He further says, the prime minister said that the resolution passed by the U.S. House of Representatives on Friday is in harmony with international law that prohibits settlements and the occupation of territory by force. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that land was given to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, given to them by God. They were in diaspora, that is, separated in, to the far-flung four corners of the earth for 2,500 years before May 15, 1948, when they once again became a nation by UN resolution, giving them just a little postage stamp of what God had initially given them years and years, thousands of years ago. I believe I have a caller on the phone. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
I think it is phenomenal that earlier this year we had the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Dannon, before the United Nations raise a Bible in his hand, and he proclaimed that this is the deed to our land. And he went to an appropriate passage in Genesis 17 where God's speaking to Abraham, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant that I will give to you and your descendants after you all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Over and over and over, as you go through those first few books of the Bible, you'll find the word forever or everlasting. And over and over and over, it deals with the covenant with Abraham, and it deals with the land as a perpetual possession, a perpetual gift from God to the people of Israel. I just have one question for you, though. I actually have a few questions. Why is it that we, and you know that I a lot of times point to problems in the pulpit that create the problems in the culture, you know, where the pulpit doesn't call it right. Why do we have those in the pulpit today in America or elsewhere that deny the Israelites in this generation and say that they do not are not representative of the Israel, the Hebrew children of the Old Testament? They parse it out somehow or another, claim that that heritage is not actual, that God didn't mean what he meant when he said everlasting or forever. Why is that? What group of people would have such a division in thought and understanding of the Scripture?
That's a good question. Let me simply say it this way. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line with us today Greg Youngblood, one of our sons. As I mentioned before, Greg holds a degree in ecclesiastical jurisprudence, which is constitutional law and theology and biblical doctrines. And it's always a joy to have him with us as part of the broadcast. And I always look forward to that opportunity when he has a moment that he can call in and we can join in the dialogue and discussion. Greg, that's a very good question. Let me simply succinctly answer it this way. It's because of John Calvin, and it's called Calvinism today. Some call it Reformed theology. And that Reformed theology is the Reformed theologians under Calvinism, that John Calvin said that the church was simply spiritual Israel. that God no longer deals with Israel. Israel is no longer on the forefront with God to do anything. Israel has passed, and now the church is spiritual Israel. So therefore, under Reformed theology, it is replacement theology. And in replacement theology, the church, the nation of Israel no longer is prevalent, no longer has any say-so. God is no longer dealing with them, just dealing with the church, which is spiritual Israel. And that is absolutely untrue. It is because under Reformed theology, under Calvinism, replacement theology replaces Israel with the church, and it is antithetical to the Word of God. And it's because those pastors, those in that theological, if you please, diatribe, they do not have a dispensational theology. They do not look at it as if we didn't have but two dispensations, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Dispensation, New Dispensation. God's chosen people, God's elect in the Old Testament, the Old Dispensation, God's elect people were the nation of Israel. The elect of God in the New Testament is the church of God, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the believers in the world today. So if you don't do anything but break it down very succinctly with two dispensations, and because of a non-dispensational theological position of most coming out of the liberal theological institutions today, they have destroyed the Word of God. They're not looking at it in context, not looking at it dispensationally. And as a result of that, there's a hodgepodge and a diatribe, which is antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Greg, hang on for just a moment. Let's take another caller. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Brother Youngblood and Greg. I, as a Jewish believer, having done studies for a number of years, not only the Calvinists, but not all the Calvinists. I've spoken to many Calvinists that still believe that the Jewish people have a right to certain things. They don't hold to the central core of Calvinism. And even non-Calvinists are that way. But basically, they believe the land covenant, the Abrahamic land covenant, has been fulfilled under either the Davidic or the Solomonic reign. And so it's completely fulfilled. It has been fulfilled in the past. So that's why they don't see it as a future fulfillment.
Well, contrary to that belief, that is an aberrant belief, because not a word, not a single scripture in the Word of God that will validate that position. That's simply hypothetical on their part. When you talk about an everlasting covenant, this, and it is a covenant that is given by God. It's not God saying, "I'm going to do this if you'll do that." God is making
right.
that as a unilateral covenant, that this is what I'm going to do. This is your land. And when you go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, it very clearly gives the boundaries of the nation of Israel, even
right.
in Joshua,
yeah.
chapter 1. And God has not done anything to modify or to nullify or to remove that everlasting covenant. And by the way, let's get back to one other point, and I digress to do this, but I need to. When you look at Calvinism, there's no such thing as a single doctrinal theological belief in Calvinism. William Durant, the old historian of yesteryear, said there's no such thing as a single doctrinal position of Calvinism. If you've got 1,000 Calvinists, you've got 1,000 views on what Calvinism means. And that's the position
yes.
today. You can talk to this Calvinist, that Calvinist, the mm-hmm. other. They're all in a hodgepodge belief because every one of them have a different understanding of what the TULIP acronym for Calvinism stands for.
Right.
And as a result of it, you'll find some that will that's on national radio that will preach, you need to get saved, you need to say yes to Jesus, but at the same time saying that God is predestined some to heaven and some to hell. That's Calvinism's aberrant theology, and that theological position says that God has foreordained some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. You can't do anything about it. But I
yeah.
hope that that answers the question.
And Brother Youngblood?
Yes.
Yeah, and under the Solomonic reign, D. James Kennedy and some others that I've read and listened to over the years believe that because Solomon's reign extended up to Hamath in the north, all of Lebanon, and to the Euphrates River and down south, that's one of the reasons why they believe it's been fulfilled in the past as opposed to a future fulfillment.
Nope, that fulfillment was very brief and impartial, because when you look at the book of Joshua, as I just referred to and referenced a moment
right.
ago, as you look at verses 4 and 5 in particular, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, have never, ever, ever possessed the land that God gave to them. In fact, in that particular text, it says, in it. Let's see, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given, already given, as I said unto Moses. And that was in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24. It's in Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. It's the reaffirmation of that covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant has not been fulfilled as of yet. It has been promised. It belongs to them. But the problem is, if I might interject this little parenthetical footnote, the problem is the Jewish people did not go in and destroy the enemy. They made covenants with the Canaanites. They disobeyed God's directive to them, and therefore they have been suffering for 4,000 years because of that, and they've never possessed the full land that God gave them.
Right. No, I agree with you, and thanks for adding that addendum, and you didn't even charge for it. Hallelujah.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Greg, what do you say to that?
I missed out on a lot of that. I just realized that God's sovereign hand has been at work from the very beginning all the way up to today. The reestablishment of Israel was something we've never seen before in the history of humanity, where a nation dormant went silent, went without being codified as a nation for nearly 2,000 years and was revived. But we as believers, in reading through the text and the scripture, if you connect the dots, you realize that had to be. And the temple must be rebuilt for each of these texts to play out. Now, as a believer in these texts, it's amazing to me. Nostradamus ran together one of his quatrains, and you go, all right, this true and this came true, so this must also come true. You know, they'll pull little bitty segments of Nostradamus' work and say he's brilliant. However, we have text after text after text that we've seen come to life historically, and we're seeing them come to life before our very eyes, yet you still have the doubters. And we see the Matthew 24 text over and over through Scripture. We see things that shall be, and one of those things being that abomination of desolation, which means we must be rebuilt. And we those actively engaged and participating in the rebuilding, they've not broken ground, but they're ready, and they've been ready for decades now to rebuild that temple. So it's very exciting from a believer standpoint, realizing that we're seeing a prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes.
We're watching it literally leap off the pages of the Bible and into the front headlines of the news on a national level. Greg, listen, this is an article that our listeners need to understand, and most are not aware of this. This headline says, Obama quietly sent. Quietly, meaning secretly, without any notification, quietly sent $221 million to the Palestinian Authority just hours before leaving office. The article further says, more than $227 million in foreign funds, foreign affair funding, was released at the time, including $4 million for climate change programs and $1.25 million to the United Nations organizations. The official and the aides weren't authorized to speak publicly on the matter and demanded anonymity. Ladies and gentlemen, and Greg, I want us to realize that President Barack Hussein Obama, which I believe was a closet Muslim himself, in fact, on one misstatement on his when he said something that he didn't intend to say, says, I'm a Muslim. Talked about my Muslim faith is the way he stated. My Muslim faith is the way it was said. Then he went back and tried to retract it. But he's the one that spiked the football, if you will. He's the one that set the stage for what we're seeing today with the attempt to overthrow and destroy the nation of Israel. By the way, Greg, when it gets down to the prophetic text, and you're familiar with Ezekiel chapter 37, it was after 2,500 years of being in diaspora, that is, being flung to the four corners of the earth for the Jewish people, that they were brought back together May 15th, 1948, when the UN resolution allowed them to have a postage stamp of the total land that was promised to them by the Word of God. But that was the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've not read it, read that, because the Ezekiel text has already been fulfilled in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 38 and 39, by the way, comes after 37. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is talking about the war with Russia, the coming in global invasion of the Islamics, where Israel is the absolute in the bullseye. And then you see in Ezekiel chapter 43, 46, the blueprint for the rebuilding of the temple that shall be, as you spoke of a moment ago, Greg, that rebuilt temple shall be used during the days of the millennial. It will be rebuilt, and ladies and gentlemen, I believe it will be started before the church is raptured out, and rebuilt, and that will be the place when Jesus Christ returns. He'll be seated on the throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. But, Greg, let's talk about for a moment. Got a few minutes left in the broadcast. Let's talk about for a moment what President Donald J. Trump has done for the nation of Israel. He moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, which is historically the capital of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel to begin with. Jerusalem is the place where the capital should be. So as a result of that, we have all of the Muslims, all the Islamic jihadists that hates Donald J. Trump. And then we find President Trump via a resolution just yesterday. I don't know, perhaps some of our listeners watched the resolution being signed. It was an executive order. He signed that executive order, and he did so in that executive order yesterday, committing to the Jewish people to protect them on the college campuses from anti-Semitism and the hatred of Jews. But even before that, President Donald Trump, by way of resolution, recognized the Golan Heights as being Israeli territory and allowed them by resolution to be recognized by America. What do you say to that? What should we think about our president?
It's amazing because if you believe the leftist, then Donald Trump is a racist. He's an anti-Semite. Matter of fact, he's Adolf Hitler. If you believe what all these left socialist Democrats state, if he is, he's the worst one in human history because this man over and over and over has done more for those that we consider minorities within our country. He has done more for the nation of Israel. He's been less like Adolf Hitler than anyone else in my lifetime. And it's amazing, too, to step back in history. On that date, May 14th through 48, at midnight, when Israel became a nation again and recognized, I believe it was a minute after midnight, the very first nation to recognize this new state of Israel was the United States of America.
Yeah.
As a country founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, founded on the scriptures, founded by Christian men, we recognized God's position, God's place for the people of Israel. And
yes,
we recognized it, you know, throughout history, and we recognized it on that day in 1948. And today, I am glad to see more and more and more believers are recognizing that place. And as end times, as eschatological times come upon us, we realize their place, the preeminent position that they will once again be before the Lord, the focal point. And, you know, I think it's interesting all these little doctrines inside faith. You've got Jehovah's Witnesses that claim to be the 140th Revelation text for years and years. And you go, no. We're seeing Israel. And I'd like to say for any of those listening that are of the Jehovah's Witness faith, I'd have to ask, you know, how does your faith explain the 12,000 from each tribe? Which tribe are you from? Are you a male? Are you a virgin? Because it's very specific of those.
Yes,
but it's a beautiful
15,
thing to see.
We've got about 15 seconds to wrap up the broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.